So the sugya that we have, which works off of the Mishnah on Daf Chavav Amud Beis, which tells us that the shofar, Rashi adds Dafka in the Mikdash, was Mitzupeh Zahav. It was lined or somehow with gold. The whole case, the whole sugya, as you know, is not clear. For those who came in, I just made a chart, if it would be helpful to anyone, to kind of keep the sugya, the shitos and the terms straight. I didn't know how many to make, and it's not the clearest thing, but I'm happy to give people the original afterwards. If we run out, I can give it to you afterwards. But anyway, just if you're curious, I was really confused. I don't have any more of those, but you can look on, and I'm happy to give you the original if you find it helpful after Shir. So at some point yesterday, when I was really getting frustrated trying to envision all this, so I actually took out the Koran Steinsaltz New English Noe Talmud to see, because they're famous for pictures. And sure enough, if you're interested, they have two good pictures. Some of the Rishonim and some of the cases involve gold, kind of a thin layer of gold on the outside. I think it's what we always think of. But some of the Rishonim that you don't really understand which time to describe about like folding open the top and like sinking something in. So sure enough, if you look at the Steinsaltz Koran Noe New Gemara, so they have a picture of like a mouthpiece of gold like jammed into the top, which I don't know if I would have pictured on my own. So sometimes pictures are really helpful. But either way, we know that the Mishnah mentioned very straightforwardly that you had a shofar in the Mikdash, but you had a shofar with gold. It didn't seem to be a problem. Straight away, our very brief Gemara says that this seems to go against the Gemara Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, says this is contradicting the Braisa on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. And when you look at the Braisa there, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, what the Gemara asks is, in essence, what emerged from that Braisa is four different terms. The question is, what's the relationship between the terms and where do they fit on an actual shofar? So the initial terms used in the Braisa, which is what our Gemara asks on the Mishnah, is the place where you place the mouth, makom hanachas piv, versus some other place. That seems to be the most easy to define. The Braita there said that there's a problem, a psul, if you put gold in the place of your mouth. Again, whether that's a thin lining or an insert, that's not obvious from the Gemara, but putting the gold by the place of your mouth, that's a problem. Anywhere else, it seemed, or just not there, is okay. Our Mishnah said it blanketly, so the Gemara gives the easy cop-out answer, which is, yeah, and Hanami, we weren't so, the Mishnah was very succinct, but that's just what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah was referring to gold, not b'makom hanachas piv, because if it would be in that place where you place your mouth, that would contradict the price, it would be puzzle. Point one. So you have two terms, two places on the shofar. The place of the mouth and other places. Then the Gemara says there's another rule, which is that if you have the gold bifnim inside the shofar, that's itself a problem. Number three. And number four, the Gemara says you have something bachutz if it changes the sound, if it impacts the sound, that's possible. So those are the terms. Again, the Gemara itself was short. Some of you guys did it pretty quickly. And again, but I think it was deceptively short, meaning it's not long objectively, but it's not really, again, especially in the Rishonim, it really is complicated. So right away you see at least a little bit of the complication if you saw Tosfos there on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, because Tosfos in the end really throws up his hands. I made this handy dandy chart. If you have it and you can read it, I'll try to read along with it. Just, I would like to really go through this just basically to make sure everyone got the basic sheet we're talking about. But obviously the more interesting and meaty part of the sugya is whatever part we're talking about, what's wrong with the gold? And that, hope you saw, was actually a very interesting Machlokas Rishonim, which even has some Nafka Minas Halacha Lamaisa. But in terms of just like Aleph Beis, like we have to know what's terra firma, like what are we talking about? We need to be on firm ground if we're discussing things. So right away, Tosfos discusses here, I have it in the first row there. What does he define the place of your mouth? Ovi HaShofar B'Mokom Shemaniach Piv. So what I think that means, again, anyone who disagrees, and I won't take it personally because I'm confused as much as anybody, what I think that means, again, a lot of people use that term of Ovi HaShofar or Mokom. So I think that means right in here, exactly where you'd put your little finger, that's the inner width of this, right? That's this little part in here, not all the way in, and certainly not on the outer walls, even though your lips do touch that, we'll get to that in a few moments, but this inner part, this inner indent, I would consider that, that's what I think Ovi means. Anyone have a different shot in that phrase? Again, right here where you put your little finger in. Again, a lot of Rishonim, not only Tosfos, a lot of Rishonim use that phrase, I think this is what they mean, yes. Ovi Bifnim.
I would have read that with that shofar, probably would have thought to be b'she'ein bein hakol elashi or shofar v'tochek, as in there's only that entire spot here is b'makom hanachat piv, but rather like shofarim that are wider, like at the end here.
So we'll see. So there are those. Tosfos doesn't distinguish, I don't think, between different parts here.
So no, what I was thinking was if it was so wide over here, then the places where your mouth touches on the outside, there'd be certain places where it doesn't. And I know shofarim that are so wide at the front that actually do have.
Okay,
that.
Interesting. Okay, we'll keep that. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, Tosfos themselves, though, just say that very matter-of-factly. Of course, Tosfos gets all wrapped up and basically gets lost and goes down the rabbit hole and never comes back. But Tosfos wants to know, what's the alternative then? What's shelo b'makom? So what's the most obvious thing to say is what Tosfos says, which is, well, it must be everywhere else. If it's not this inner indented part, then it must be out here. So why doesn't Tosfos like that? Because that's category 4, that's bachutz. So then Tosa suggests, well, maybe it refers to the rachav part, right, down here. Maybe the shalom makom piv is the opposite end, the fat part. But Tosa seems to imagine that you'd be adding some gold onto that. And Tosa says that also seems to be a problem, because that's something later in the Gemara, which I didn't have you see, but Tosa's quoted it if you took a look, that the Gemara says you can't add anything to the shofar. So that would seem to be adding something. Well, then Tosfos says maybe it depends on the proportion. Do you have a shiur shofar already? Are you adding a shiur shofar? But whatever the details are, not for now, because we're going to get to that Gemara eventually, very soon. But the point is, Tosfos says whatever it is, if that's what Tosfos meant, I mean, if that's what the Gemara meant, then it should have said that. That the Gemara just said, shalom b'makom hanachas, sound like it matters what the proportion is or how much, right? So what does Tosfos do? He throws up their hands, right? So we don't really get that much help other than the basic first level from Tosfos. So we don't really know that much. Okay? Now, some of you saw, I hope, either in the Proyekt HaShut or if you saw an actual drasha of the Ramban. So the Ramban, who again does get quoted in some of the other Rishonim, the first opinion of the Ramban, which I have here on the second row, you could take a look at it. It's only important, really, for the way it contrasts, I would say, with the second opinion of the Ramban. It's the second opinion of the Ramban, which also gets picked up, at least in part, by the Ritva, which will be really interesting. But the first opinion of the Ramban, he says something that the Mokom Hanachas Piv is Dofen. Anyone see that? Dofen? But it's not clear at all what that meant. So if you saw the Drasha Haran that I have, the black one with the footnotes, they suggest, in the footnote there, means the thing. That Dofen means the same thing we said from Tosfos, this Ovi B'Mokom Hanachas Piv, this inner, the inner width, the inner circumference of the shofar. So what is the outer part? This is, again, this part that you'd stick your finger in, and then you get jammed. Right? So what's the outer part? So that first opinion of the Ramban seemed to say that it was anywhere on the outer surface. What's the problem with that? Well, he doesn't... Presumably the same problem that bothered Tosfos. Ramban doesn't ask the question, but once you talk about the outer surface, isn't that bachutz? Okay, so that's a little bit added, a little bit more information, but not so much. The Ritva has a comment on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, which is really picking up with the second opinion of the drasha of the Ramban, and here he has a bigger chiddush. He says, what is bifnim? Anyway, what is makom hanachos piv? Excuse me, that was a bad slip. What is makom hanachos piv according to the Ritva or according to that other opinion in the Yesh Mefarshim or Yesh Omrim in the Ramban?
The, like, okay, if you have the shofar like this, not the inside, but the part of the outside, like the rim.
Right, so, but he, what, so, that's, that is what the Ritva says. And in the footnotes, again, it's key. Part of this whole limud this year is to help you guys learn how to learn on your own. The first important trick, which in 2015 is not cheating, it's just learning, is learning how to use the footnotes. Right? The footnotes is the key. Being a good detective, learning how to read the footnotes, know when to follow the footnotes, very clutch. Right? So that's why it's always good to get something with footnotes. The footnotes are key. So the footnotes on the Ritva connect. When I was dating my wife, and then even a little few times since we've been married, we've learned together. Maybe at some VOD or something, we could talk about like Shiduchim, or if you're interested in those kind of things. But it's a key. Maybe we could discuss that at the end. Yeah. But we'll have to pick that at the end. After 5 o'clock, you could start sending me suggestions for tonight. But one thing is clear is that I made a classic mistake, which is that I thought I was looking for a chavruta, not a... Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a chavruta with your wife. I'm not against it. It happens to be that me and my wife don't really learn that much together. A little bit, but not so much. But when I was dating, I thought that was like really important. So we learned together a few times. And one of the reasons we stopped learning together was because she would want to move on, and I would be like, but the footnotes, the gold is in the footnotes. And she was like, this is not going to work. So luckily, I knew I wasn't looking for. So if it would have been a chavruta, it wouldn't have worked. But Baruch Hashem, I was looking for a wife. So, but that was a process that I went through, and I'm happy to share with you the benefits of that process at some point if you're so inclined to listen. So anyway, but the footnotes are key. So the footnotes in the Ritva. How do we get to that? Right, the footnotes of the Ritva. So the footnotes of the Ritva say that what is the Ritva getting at? They suggest what the Ramban says more explicitly, which is a little bit more than what you said. You just said what the Ritva said, which is fine. But the Ramban says, what's the definition of makom hanachos piv? Not so much that what goes in your mouth, but anywhere your lips touch. Now, what's the chiddush of that? That even if it's something on the outer, I'm going to call it surface, or outer wall of the shofar, but if that's close enough to the top that your lips touch it, so that's still considered makom hanachos piv, even though it's on the outside. So then what is shaloba makom? Anywhere on the outside that your lips don't touch. Well, if that's the case, that what is bachutz? Again, not clear. The same thing that's been bothering all the Rishonim, including from Tosfos. Take a look at that. Drashas HaRamban with the footnotes. So in the footnote, they have a long discussion to try to figure that out. But that's a little bit unclear. But here we have our first chiddush a little bit, which is that here we have the possibility that makom hanachos piv might not be only the inner part, an inner wedge of the shofar, but it might even be something on the outer surface. The Ran, I'm sorry, yes.
So what's makom shelo hanacha piv?
Meaning
according to the Ritva.
Number two, according to the Ritva. So again, he says something which the footnotes interpret like the Ramban number two,
okay. Meaning
it's something on the outer surface of the top part of the shofar, but a little bit below already, and it's not where your lips touch. A little bit below that.
Okay.
Yes.
What the Ritva says is the place that's not makom hanachos piv. Whatever is outside of what his mouth touches,
correct.
The part that they widened on the out, like the tip.
Again, it's not 100%. I'm not saying that this footnote is necessarily correct, but that's what the footnote suggested, equating that. Again, it was tzad rachav. It did not mean this the way. It does not mean the way Tosos used rachav. Clearly.
Okay.
You can dance too.
Yes. This is too small.
Hold on. Oh, a picture might be better. Not on the shofar, please. It's not on shofar.
No, I said that. So the in this end, right?
Is that the front end?
Right, it's the front end with the hole over here. Then the shofar continues and goes upwards. This is hollow. So this. Sometimes they make this part wider. Sometimes it's the shofar is more flat and this part is like made wider. That would be a makom harachav. For example, if the shofar. You go like this, and with heat, they can make a little bit wider to make a mouthpiece.
Right, okay.
Okay, so that's what he means by makom harachav.
So again, do you think it's an inner part, like...
No, I think it's on
the... I'm using the Ramban as like the pivot. The key, because this is the Ramban's breakthrough, are we talking about something on the inner part, something that's been carved out, or can we even be talking about something on the outer surface?
I don't think they're just saying the outer surface.
Okay, fair enough. So again, you're allowed to argue on the footnote.
Sure. So what he's explaining, I think, is how I understood the Tosfos, but I guess obviously that's... But basically, imagine there's a mouth shape on the front. Anywhere inside the mouth shape would be makom shelo hanachos piv. Anything outside would be makom shelo.
Even though you're staying up on this surface up here.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Good. Fine, I'm fine with that. It's hard to know, but that's fine. If you take a look just at the last few lines of your little chart there, you see the Ran. The Ran basically says, again, Ovi Bifnim. Again, I'm consistent. I'm translating Ovi Bifnim as that part you can kind of jam your finger in there. The Ovi Bifnim, the width part where you can get your... But it's, again, it's not on the outer surface, on the inside. So what does the Ran mean when he says... What was the Ran's second category? He called Ovi Bitzad Chutz. So maybe that means something that you're referring to. Notice he's still, Ovi clearly is talking about something somewhat inner, but it's like, it's wide. So there's like, within the inner jam in your finger part, there seems to be an inner part and an outer part. It's in the inner part, there's inner and outer inner. That's how, again, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe in a different show for it'd be easier to see. But that's kind of how I'm conceiving a little bit, I think, of what the Ran was saying. But the important thing, why did the Ran say that? What was the Ran gaining? If you look at line number four there, or whatever, row number four, because what the Ran coming up with something that Shaloba Makom Hanachas Piv still is in the quote unquote Ovi, then he can say that everything on the outer surface is just chutz. And that what everyone else is struggling with, the Ran accomplishes. He's not, he can avoid that problem by basically creating two different areas within Ovi. Right? Again, maybe that's what the Ritva meant as well, but I think he was the one who said it most explicitly, yes.
I think even, no matter...
It's yours.
It's fine. I think no matter...
okay,
no matter where the gold is inside that Ovi bit, yeah. The Ovi bit, it's going to change the sound no matter what.
We didn't get to what the problem with anything is yet. We have not... That, now we're just trying to understand where is the gold. Right. What's the psul, what's the problem with that? This is why it's complicated. You really need to know... it's really a two-step process. Okay? We'll leave out the rush for now, just for the sake of time. I just want to stress, did you see the Rambam? Okay, the Rambam does not tell you where he's talking about. He just mentions the three the areas. Right? It's a problem on the chaspiv, it's a problem bifnim, and it's a problem bachutz if it changes the sound. Right? That's the easy part. Right? But the what did the Magid, if you had to see the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah points out that the Rambam is not, he collapses categories 2 and 4. What everyone else was bothered by, starting with Tosfos. Well, how could category 2 be an outer surface? Isn't that bachutz? Said the Magid Mishnah, yeah, in Echnami. You know, Devar Torah, Ashir Mamakom Echad, Ani Mamakom Acher. I mean, I use that phrase, not him. But basically, yeah, it's a little bit more clear. It's just you just have to read one in light of the other. He kind of collapses the category. So you don't have to have such anxiety over this. It's basically the same thing. The inner part, presumably this inner Ovi, that's Makom Anachas Piv. Shalom Makom Anachas Piv, i.e. the outside. It's all one thing. Shkayach. It's not four things. It's really hard to find four areas. That's the point. That's what all the other Rishonim were struggling with. And again, it's not, you can't read that in the Rambam. The Rambam didn't say anything. But the fact that the Rambam only listed three things, so says the Magid Mishnah, Shkayach. You know, again, if you didn't know any better and you weren't burdened, you know, with centuries of, you know, anxiety based on Tosfos and the earlier other Rim, I don't know, maybe anyone would have come up with that. But it's like a simple, elegant way of understanding it if you're not bothered by the fact that there are four terms in the Gemara and the Magid Mishnah just assumes that you can collapse two of them into one. So again, as I've sometimes stressed when I'm giving my Shanal of Shir to the guys, right, in Lumdus, or maybe I've even said this to you guys, I don't remember, but like in Lumdus, very often pieces, every move you make, it's like chess, right, every move you make impacts the other. So if you make a bold move on the front end, then the conclusion, you can just crawl over the finish line, it's easy. Right? But you took a bold move, that was controversial. If you take a little bit more of a conservative move in the beginning, then you're going to be the one often who has to take the bolder, riskier move at the end. So the way I'm interpreting it, or the way I'm presenting it, in essence, by the Magid Mishnah / the Rambam making this bold move in the beginning to collapse the categories and assume that the Gemara wasn't being meduyak in four categories, it really means three, so no one else was willing to say that. Right? So in that sense, everyone else was reading things, taking things more conservatively, literally in the beginning, but then they're stuck, and now they don't know how to get over the finish line. Once the Rambam took the big move in the beginning, getting over the finish line is nothing at the end. Now, then how does it all work out? Easy, it works out. Right, so sometimes, again, at least for me, sometimes thinking in those terms helps. And that, if it helps you, so that could be a nice tool for your Lamdasha toolbox. But again, often when you see Rishonim, the way things play out, again, very often someone is more mechudash in the beginning, but then again, by the end, things just flow easily. So how come it seems to be so nice at the end? Because they took the risk. And I'm not saying one's better over the other. This is not like life lessons. You know, be bold and, you know, that is true sometimes in life and sometimes it's not. So it's certainly not always true in Lamdas, but sometimes that really helps to kind of understand what the Rishonim are doing with and against each other. So more or less with all that, maybe, I hope, maybe we have a sense of what the Rishonim were talking about. But now, we have 10 minutes left, is the fun part, which is why do we put all this effort in? Why are we schwitzing? Why are we doing this? Because we want to understand what is the problem. And even that is not as clear, but it's not as confusing either. Most of the Rishonim speak about what type of psul? Who wants to tell me? Most of the Rishonim speak about? So they either speak about, this is the part I was talking about, I think, with the Ori before this year, I think, right? Which is, there is a term that some of the Rishonim use, like, it's kol shofar, or it's not kol shofar, kol zahav. Rashi says that twice. Other Rishonim say that as well. But we also have a phrase in the Gemara itself, which many Rishonim pick up on, which is what Yitzi actually said, which is changing the coal, right? Now, are those the same things? They don't have to be. Again, I can't always pin down for sure what it was in a Rishon mind. It's hard. But they might mean the same thing. And again, Ori and I were discussing before about, you know, what did Rashi mean, right? So maybe Rashi meant it as something different than the Gemara. Right? Because... And again, I think you could argue that it's different, which is that even if it is to the ear, and even for that matter, they didn't have exactly, computers to test these things, right? To the ear, maybe it would sound exactly like a regular shofar, but maybe it's halachically, it's not a kol shofar. It's a kol zahav, and that's a psul, because the mitzvah is with the shofar. The Gemara, when it was talking about bachutz, clearly was talking about something else, which is that, no, it sounds different. It's not just that it's not a formal kol shofar. In Metzias, it's different. So when the Rishonim speak about, as Rashi and others do, kol shofar or kol shel zahav, do they mean that there's a change in the sound? Or do they mean more formally, even if there isn't, it's just not a kol shofar? Not that I don't care about that. Of course we care about that. It's just hard to pin down. The Meiri struggles, I didn't even tell you to see the Meiri, but the Meiri struggles with this as well. But for our purposes, in a certain sense, there's a tzad hashaveh between both of those, which is that what we're talking about is a chisaron mitzad the kol, or what I would like to call the product. I stress that because the alternative, which you have in the Drashas HaRamban and the Ritva, is not in the product, but what I will call the process. Namely, that the process of blowing the shofar, the maisa, but in the P is better for alliteration. Product or process? Is it the heftz of the shofar or the heftz of the kol? Again, those are not the same thing, but it's hard to determine which one we're talking about. But it's something on that end. Or is it the maisa tekiya? Is it the process or the product? So Rashi and those who go like him, whatever exactly they're referring to, not that it's exactly the same thing, and it would be better if we were more sure of ourselves, but at least one thing we know, they're referring to the product. They're not referring to the maisa tekiya. They're not referring to the term that the Ritva uses, which was chatzitza, basing himself off of the Ramban. You see, I want to just go get a little bit more in, okay? Now, why is that important? Well, first of all, it's important to understand. But number one, it's important for that. Number two is, now we can understand the Ramban's chiddush, that it even applies anywhere your lip touches, even if it's on the outer surface, right? If you got big lips, or you're inserting the shofar somewhat more into your mouth, and your lips are going down, yay much on the shofar, this part of the shofar where there's gold, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that's going to affect the sound of the shofar whatsoever. And yet, according to that opinion in the Ramban, and maybe, if the footnote is right, not like you, maybe the Ritva also means that, and again, this is why the footnote said it, because he uses the term chatzitza. So then, even though it's not affecting the kol shofar, but it's a chatzitza, because they hold, and this is their chiddush, which is not at all obvious, there's no Gemara that says this anywhere, but you have to be touching the shofar. There's a din that the Baal Tokea, not only his hand, but more importantly, his mouth, must be touching the shofar. And therefore, if you have a chatzitza, which not only applies in the inner wedge part here, the ovi, it can even apply down here on the outer surface. So however it is you understand the details with the chart and the four categories, is that, does it bother you that that's maybe what mechutz means? Does it not bother you? For our purposes at this point, that's not as important. But it only makes sense to be worried about that if you're not talking about changing the sound, if you think there's what the Ritva referred to as a chatzitza. Now, the next point, which is a chiddush, which the Ramban says, which the Ritva quotes, which was, therefore, they have a chiddush. Again, not in any Gemara. Shma mina, said the Ramban. If you hold the shofar away from your mouth and you blow into it, it's possible. Nothing to do with gold. But from the sugi of gold, said the Ritva. We learned that. The Ritva's quoting the Ramban. Why? So whether it's true or not, that's one thing that's bizarre. But where do you see that from the gold? L'shitatam, it's a good question. They said the gold's a problem of chatzitza. Here's a perfect shofar, there's no gold anywhere. I just don't have my lips touching it. Why is that a problem? Who, anyone saw in the footnote? Here! Again, I was curious if anyone look on their own, but this, you would have gotten a whole Torah from the footnotes. Anyone see the footnotes? Who, a big achron that the footnotes quoted? Anyone remember? Anyone see? You guys got to check these. The Avnei Nezer! The Sukkachover! Sukkachover. Okay, anyway. The Avnei Nezer, one of the greatest Hasidic Gedolim of all time, Talmud of the Chedusha Harim. You know Rabbi Shabtai Rappaport? Some of you may want to go make Aliyah, go to Bar Ilan. The head of the Kolel in Bar Ilan is, anyone know the name of the Kolel? If you want to learn, I hope you're going to learn if you go to Bar Ilan. What's the name of the Kolel? But who's the head of the Kolel in Bar Ilan? Rabbi Shabtai Rappaport. Who is a descendant on his mother's side from the Avnei Nezer. Gotta know these things. It'll help you get in. Okay? You just let me know before you go for your interview. I'll give you all the good stuff. Okay? So, the Avnei Nezer asked this question. How could the Ramban and the Ritva say, Shema Mino, we see from the halach of the gold that you can't just blow at a distance. That's not a chatzitza. So the Avnei Nezer answers his question by asking a second question. The Gemara in Sukkah, which some of the Rishonim here mentioned, says, Kola hana'oso eino chotzeitz. If you do anything to beautify an object, the context there is a lulav, it's not a chatzitza. So the goal is to make the shofar more beautiful, so why is that called a chatzitza? It's the second question on the Ramban. So says the Avnei Nezer, you know, one question answers the second. Again, we don't have time to get into it now, but you can find it in the footnotes. Based on Ramban and Bechoros, the Ramban's shita is that sometimes you have something that's not a real chatzitza. It doesn't mean it's an external thing interposing, interrupting the touching of things. Even if it's not a chatzitza, something might not be a chatzitza. The gold might not be a chatzitza, says Avnei Nezer. But you can't say that you're actually touching. Your lips are not... It may not be a chatzitza in the sense of being a negative force, but if you hold that there's a positive requirement for your lips to touch the shofar, they're not. They're touching gold. Now, the reason that is, again, so one way, again, the way to say it in English, I would say is it a negative chatzitza? There's something else interrupting? So the Ramban, he says, Avnezer, no, because haraya, even from here, is a problem. But rather, what you see is that the Ramban and the Ritva hold that you need to have a more positive negia. Your lips need to be touching the shofar. The gold, even if it's not a chatzitza in the sense of being a negative interposition, but yilmaisa, you're not actually touching. Once you understand that the chiv is to be touching, so now you understand why the Ramban says, Shema Mina, from here is a problem. And now I'll add my little ha'ara. Maybe someone said it before me, it's not a great chiddush, not a groisa chiddush, but it's a good ha'ara, I think it's meduyak. A proof, like this Avnei Nezer, the way it's so beautiful, who caught this? I gave you a clue a few minutes ago. I kept on saying, the Ritva holds it's a chatzitza. The Ritva uses the term the chatzitza. But what did Ban use? The Ramban did not say chatzitza. Yeah, now, again, I myself, the first time I read through them, the Ritva seems to be that Ramban Shita. He talks about blowing it from a distance. Hefsei chatzitza. But if you think about it, they're not the same thing. What's the difference? Exactly the Avnei Nezer. That's the difference. A chatzitz is a negative thing. If there's something that we see, it's really something else, a third thing that's interrupting my lips from the shofar. But the Gemara Sukkah says that anything that's done to beautify a mitzvah object is not considered a third wheel. So Sad Avnei Nezer is right. It's not a third thing. It's not a negative influence. It's just you don't have the positive charge, the positive connection. Exactly. It's a hefsek. It may not be a chatzitza, like, well, you know, neon lights, but there is a hefsek. And if you have the shofar this away from your lips, what is that? What would you call that? Not a chatzitza, but what would you call it? A hefsek. So I think it's actually very, very glot. Give me one more minute and then we'll finish, and then I'm happy after everyone wants to leave, anyone wants to stay to take questions. Last point, which is, I think, also beautiful. If you caught it, you'll really appreciate this, which is that some of you may know, and it certainly will be coming up, you know, periodically, sugya after sugya, if we do it straight through the dap. What's the classic question about shofar? All right, what's the mitzvah? Is it the tekiah? Or is it the Shmiah? That's a classic, famous hakira about shofar. Right? Most people don't talk about is that our Gemara relates to that, I think. Right? Because the Rambam quotes that there's a problem of... So the Rambam quotes our Gemara. But the Magen Mishnah and others, and the Remain of Manoach, particularly, wonder, what? Why? According to the Rambam, what's the mitzvah of tekiah shofar? Not tekiah, it's Shmiah. Right? The Rambam says this many times, Lishmoa kol shofar. If it's only the mitzvah in the Shmiah... The Rambam there says in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, the Rambam is Beferush, there's no need to touch the shofar. Okay, this is, you could have found this all on your own, you just got to look. There's no need to touch the shofar. Aleph Gimel, says the Rambam, the fact that the mitzvah is Shmia, well, all the people in the audience didn't touch the shofar, so the Rambam, Enechanami, the mitzvah is Shmia, you don't need to touch the shofar. Well, if that's the case, then what's the problem with Sipu's of? What's the problem with having the gold? So Rabbeinu Manoach quotes two opinions. I should have told you on the Makarot, I'm sorry I didn't mention to you, but you should know, Rabbeinu Manoach is on the page if you use a Frankel Rambam. So if you don't have a Frankel Rambam, that's a good investment in general to get, to buy the Frankels. But if you don't, so at least while you're in yeshiva, we have the Frankels in the back. So on the page in the Frankel is Rabbeinu Manoach. So he says, why does the Rambam think this is a problem? His first opinion is, maybe it's a chatzitza. His second opinion is, well, it's just not kol shofar. And then he says, v'zeh ikar. He thinks that's the right shot. So says the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik and Harei Kedem, how do you know that Rabbeinu Manoach is right? How did he know? So he thinks it's because it's based on the Rambam l'shitaso. If you hold, as we know the Rambam does, that the mitzvah shofar is the shmiya, not the tekiya, so then who cares about chatzitza? You say, but chatzitza, I didn't touch the shofar. But the Rambam holds it beferish in Aleph Gimel, you do not need to touch the shofar. So who cares that there's gold there? The answer is, in Hanami, that's not the problem. He doesn't hold like the Ramban and the Ritva. And the Ramban, again, there are many other proofs. The Ramban is very serious about the chefts of the shofar. The Rambam is always downplaying it, and the Ramban is always playing it up. Because the Ramban suggests the Rav and the Ritva hold that blowing the shofar is the mitzvah, it's tekiyah. So then what's the cheftz of the mitzvah? The shofar itself. But the Rambam does not hold that way. The Rambam is beferish in Aleph Gimel. Here is Aleph Vav is about gold, Aleph Gimel is about the stolen shofar, and what's the mitzvah? And there the Rambam said beferish, that it's not the shofar which is the cheftz of the mitzvah. What does the Rambam say? The sound, the kol. The intangible sound. So there's no chatzitza with that. The chatzitza is only with the chefs of the shofar. That wouldn't make any sense for the Rambam to think that's the psul. So the Rambam holds that it's the kol. Even though the Rambam holds it's a din in shmiya, you have to hear the shofar. It's not a din in blowing. But what do you have to hear? You have to hear a kol shofar. So if the gold changes it from being a kol shofar to a kol shel zahav, so that even the Rambam is going to say it's psul. If you hold that it's a mitzvah in tekiyah, then you care potentially about the connection between the person and the shofar. And then it might be a problem of chatzitza, or hefsek, as the case may be. But the Rambam wouldn't care about either. So I would suggest Ladina, the Rambam would hold, going like this, may not be a problem at all. Unless he held that by having that kind of richuk, that kind of hefsek, maybe that wouldn't be called kol shofar either. I'm not sure. You know, I don't. That would be an interesting question. Maybe the Rambam would hold you need some kind of a chibur to create the kol shofar. It's hard to know, but at least potentially, I think it would be possible that the Rambam would be okay with this distance blowing in, because the whole reason that the Ramban and the Ritva held it was a problem was because you either need hefse, it's a hefsek or chitzitza, but either way, we're saying the Rambam doesn't hold to that whole issue because he holds it din in the shmiya. So how can he care at all about the gold? I think Rabbeinu Manoach is correct. That's the Rav's Chiddush, not mine. The Rabbeinu Noach is correct. According to the Rambam, you have to assume it's not like the Ramban. It's not like the Ritva. It's not Chatzitza. It's not Hefsek. But rather, it is a din in the Kol Shofar. So I think to sum up, we saw three things. We saw, well, number one, what are we talking about? What's the case? And sometimes there are sugyas which are just detail oriented. We just got to plot it out and get our heads straight. What are we talking about? Number two is, what's the problem? We saw two basic approaches in Rishonim. Is it process or product? The kol shofar or the something in the maisa tekiya, the hefsek chatzitza problem. How is that a problem? The Avnei Nezer's chiddush. And then how does it, the bigger macro issue of what is the whole mitzvah of shofar, tekiya versus shmiya, the chiddush of the Rav, which gives this sugya a really nice kind of macro lamdasha twist. Okay, any questions? I'm happy to stay. Anyone has a charusa or a chog or something they want to run to? Bevakasha, besimcha.